Science is nothing without experiments. As the Nobel Prize-winning physicist Richard Feynman said, quote, "In general, we look for a new law by the following process. First, we guess it. Then we compute the consequences of the guess to see what would be implied if this law that we guessed is right. Then we compare the result of the computation to nature with experiment or experience, observation of the world, compare it directly with observation to see if it works. If it disagrees with the experiment, it is wrong." And that simple statement is the key to science. It does not make any difference how beautiful your guess is. It does not make any difference how smart you are, who made the guess, or what his name is. If it disagrees with experiment, it is wrong. Those words, "if it disagrees with experiment, it is wrong," provide the simplest summary of what science is all about. People sometimes wonder why it took so long for science to get started. After all, the ancient Greeks were just as clever as us, and some of them had both the curiosity and the leisure to philosophize about the nature of the world. But by and large, with a few exceptions, that is all they did, philosophize. We do not intend to denigrate philosophy by this remark. It has its own place in the toll of human achievements, but it is not science. For example, these philosophers debated the question of whether a light object and a heavy object dropped at the same time would hit the ground at the same time, or whether the heaviest object would fall more quickly. But they did not test their ideas by dropping objects with different weights from the top of a tall tower. That experiment would not be carried out until the 17th century, although not, as we shall explain, by Galileo. Indeed, it was just at the beginning of the 17th century that the English physician and scientist William Gilbert first spelled out simply and clearly the scientific method, later summarized up so succinctly by Feynman. In 1600, writing in his book De Magneta, Gilbert described his work, notably concerning magnetism, as a new kind of philosophizing. And he went on, quote, "If any see fit not to agree with the opinions here expressed and not to accept certain of my paradoxes, still let them note the great multitude of experiments and discoveries. We have dug them up and demonstrated them with such pains and sleepless nights and great money expense. Enjoy them, you, and if ye can, employ them for better purposes. Many things in our reasonings and our hypotheses will perhaps seem hard to accept, being at variance with the general opinion, but I have no doubt that hereafter they will win authoritativeness from the demonstrations themselves." It's from the opening of The Cat in the Box, A History of Science in 100 Experiments. This was first published in Britain in 2016. It made it to these shores across the pond a year later. And I'm glad it did, because STEM, science, technology, engineering, mathematics, is all the rage now. STEM in schools, STEM in libraries. I don't doubt that STEM will soon become a huge, big holiday gift seller. So how delightful to find a book that takes STEM through the ages and offers us thought-filled, not dumbed-down, true stories that tell us how science has helped us explain and even discover the world around, above, below, and within us. The Cat in the Box begins with the ancient Greeks, as we heard, seeking to learn about the displacement of water, the discovery of prime numbers, and walks us into the present, stopping along the way to take note of the importance of the Waring Blender, the Tower of Pisa, and that fabled apple in an orchard in making sense out of the world around us. We move from the ancient Greeks through the medieval ages to the Renaissance and into the modern world of science, heralded by Galileo and Newton. There's lots of physics here, certainly chemistry, biology, astronomy, and of course, it is all interwoven with the history of intellectual curiosity and resistance. Sometimes discoveries in science are the result of searing tragedies. The discovery of the exceptional value of penicillin came during World War II. And the surprising role that the flu epidemic that erupted late in World War I, 100 years ago, when a better understanding of viruses gave more clarity to the understanding of the role of DNA, which was just beginning to happen at the turn of the last century. And sometimes the science was related to more curiosity than need. We read about the birth of biochemistry, which introduced us to the now widely accepted view that tells us that so much of life is not animated by some sort of mysterious life force, but is the ever-churning process of everyday chemistry. We experience again the discovery of X-rays and the wonderful discoveries of pasteurization, of antiseptics, and vaccination, all of which are now readily accepted parts of healthcare. But when they were first proposed in the late 1800s, were met with scorn and deep skepticism among many of the scientific, not to mention the public, communities. And if you're curious like me, you'll be glad to find that while the presentation of these discoveries is chronological through the book, we start with the Greeks and we end up with the discovery of waves going through the universe, the reader is alerted to a past or a future successful inquiry based upon what is currently being read, with clear page references forward or backward in the book. You don't have to always scurry to the index or to the table of contents. A most helpful idea that I wish more science books would emulate, for it gives the interested reader a chance to follow through on an idea, by jumping from chapter to chapter, story to story, following scientists as they learned more through the years. For instance, the aforementioned study of viruses and DNA can be traced back to Gregor Mendel's peas, and then up through the modern ages, including that World War I study of viruses, and, of course, into Watson and Crick and many discoveries since then. This is a book about science, and it's becoming more and more well-known that many of us learn more and more easily by viewing illustrations that reflect the ideas presented in the text. So, I'm glad to report that there are lots of color photos and illustrations which further explain the text, and they are not just last-minute decorations added to the book. Perhaps most stunning to me, as an example, there's a sci-fi-like actual photo of viruses attacking a bacteria in order to infect it with the virus's DNA. It is a spectacular two-page electron microscope view of a world that, of course, we don't get to see in our everyday lives. One final moment of praise and criticism. Cat in the Box features both male and female scientists, much to its credit. We're finally getting to the point where men and women are both being given full recognition for the work they're doing. But as well, the book is focused exclusively on Western, i.e. European and North American science and discoveries. There's no real recognition of the contributions of the Arabs, the Indians, the Chinese, or the more modern discoveries from the developing world nations either, for that matter. It's not a reason not to read and appreciate the book, but rather a suggestion that future editions may be more world-encompassing in their viewpoint. It does very well what it does right now. And so as we move from experiment to experiment and experimenter, over the course of many years, indeed over the course of many centuries, we discover that Cat in the Box is, indeed, the history of science in 100 experiments. And one final note before we conclude with something additional from the book. It's interesting that the authors tell us in the book that many of these experiments, which are detailed here, can indeed be replicated in modern classrooms or maybe even in your study, if you so decide. They suggest that not all of these are going to work. Not all of us have a giant particle accelerator and collider that we have access to, but many of the more simple and yet groundbreaking, earth-shattering experiments are still experiments that we can run for ourselves and learn from today, bringing science into our everyday lives, science in the sense of these very important discoveries. Let's finish by giving our authors just a bit more of an opportunity to tell us why they think this book is so worth your while. I must say, I do agree with them. As they tell us, at some level, things have to be taken on trust. But the key to that trust is that everything in the scientific worldview is based on experiments, by which term we include observations of phenomena predicted by theories and hypotheses such as the bending of light as it goes past the sun. If you find that some of the concepts described here fly in the face of common sense, remember what Gilbert said. They may, quote, seem hard to accept, being at variance with the general opinion, end quote, but they, quote, win authoritativeness from the demonstrations, experiments themselves, end quote. And above all, if it disagrees with experiment, it is wrong. What a wonderful way to learn some science, to especially get behind some of the great discoveries of science, whether it happened centuries ago or whether it happened just a couple of years ago as well. The Cat in the Box, A History of Science in 100 Experiments by John Gribben and Mary Gribben. It's available at all of our fine local public libraries, including the West Lafayette Public Library.